to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
So this is Dr. Trish Murray from Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, and we're going to be doing a podcast with Health Coach Trish. So there's Dr. Trish and there's Health Coach Trish, so don't get confused. But we're going to be talking about today, what are FODMAPs and why should I care? Okay, because FODMAPs is an important information that you're going to need to know if you have IBS. So more letters, but the bottom line is you need to be paying attention. If you've got bowel problems, diarrhea, constipation, bloating, gas, then you better be paying attention to this presentation. So I'm Dr. Trish Murray, physician, best-selling author, and the Health Catalyst speaker. And again, I'm here today talking with Health Coach Trish from Discover Health Functional Medicine Center. So hey, Trish, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. So let's get right into this with FODMAPs. What is it? Is it a word? Is it an acronym? What does it mean? Help people understand.
Sure. So this question comes up a lot because sometimes people hear about FODMAPs and don't really know what they are. So FODMAPs is a classification of fruits and vegetables and some other foods. So I'm going to share my screen. It is an acronym. And it's, you know, there's a lot kind of to it. So if that's okay, I will share my screen. I've got a little slide to show you what FODMAPs are.
Absolutely. Please do.
Let's go to this. All right. Can you see that?
Sure can, but go ahead and, you know, go to the full slide.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. So FODMAPs stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. So that doesn't necessarily help people understand what that is. But if you think about those words, fermentable, something that ferments, right? So oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides are sugars, same with polyols. So that you might have heard saccharide before, that word, that might give people a clue a little bit of what we're talking about. So these are sugars that are carbohydrates that aren't absorbed properly in the gut. And for some people, as you said, they trigger symptoms of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And it's not something that's added to food. It's not like a toxic chemical or some kind of sugar that's, you know, added in as a sweetener necessarily. It's found naturally in many foods, but also in some food additives. So it's just something that exists out there in the wild. So this classification of fruits and vegetables for some people can be problematic. And if you look on the slide, you've got the low FODMAPs and the high FODMAPs. They've been broken down into categories, and these are the common list. And I put, there's a link there for Monash University. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we get into like, what do people do about this if they think they are sensitive to FODMAPs? So that gives a little background.
So let me give a few moments here, Trish and everybody, on, you know, why should you care? Why is FODMAP, these fermentable sugars, why should you care and why are they important to you? Well, if you've been told that you have irritable bowel syndrome or IBS, or you haven't even been to a medical provider and not been diagnosed with anything, but you deal with on a regular basis, bloating, diarrhea or constipation that might wax and wane, or you might feel fine for a few weeks and then all of a sudden you don't even know why you're feeling more bloated and more constipated, or you can't even leave your house because you have to move your bowels every 10 minutes, or if you eat something, it runs right through you. Bottom line is, folks, those are symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, and the FODMAP diet is one of the main diets that are recommended for anyone who has IBS to trial. So the other thing is, you know, what are the foods that are fit into these categories of high FODMAP? Well, if you look on this slide, you will see eliminate the red area. Of course, red, X, don't do it. You know, eliminate foods containing high FODMAP. Now you'll see there's also five columns here because there are five categories of high FODMAP foods. You notice fructose, lactose, fructans, galactans, and polyols. Now, if you get into those categories, each of the different ones, and you start looking at the fine print and you see different foods that are in there, you'll be like, wait a minute, some of these foods are good for me, right, Trish?
Yeah.
Like, wait, I thought I was supposed to eat vegetables. So Trish, go over some of the vegetables that really with the FODMAP diet, you might actually be thinking you're eating something healthy, but you want to avoid it because you are sensitive to high FODMAP sugar. So Trish, why don't you point out some in that regard?
Sure. Yeah. So things in the, especially in the vegetable category or the fruit category, you know, there's some things on here that are clearly not that healthy, like, you know, different added sweeteners or something. Nobody would say that's a health food, but artichokes, asparagus, beetroot, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, you know, we're always told to eat our broccoli and, you know, cabbage, onion, garlic, garlic has some really good healthy properties. We even did a study with fermented black garlic because of the health properties of that in treating inflammation and high cholesterol, high blood sugar, potentially having some good benefits. And then, you know, apples, pears, mango, those kinds of things. You know, none of those things are unhealthy foods. Avocado, you know, in the fruit category as well. So even though they're healthy foods, somebody could still be reacting to them in an unhealthy way.
Exactly. And I will tell you, I'll raise my hand. I'm someone that experiences this, meaning years ago when I started getting into functional medicine and I had heard of the FODMAP diet, but I had so many things I was learning. It wasn't on the top of the list for me to be researching yet and understanding fully. And of course, a patient came in on the FODMAP diet with irritable bowel syndrome. So that bumped this whole concept right up to the top of my pile. And I started researching it and I was like, oh, well, I suffer with IBS-like symptoms and I eat apples just about every day. I eat broccoli all the time because it's a wonderful detoxifying vegetable. It helps your body optimize your detox system. I eat onions all the time. So I ate many of these foods. I ate beans on a regular basis. And then I looked at this list and went, oh, wow, no wonder I suffer with IBS. So I literally went on the elimination of all high FODMAP foods for 4 to 6 weeks, which is the recommended amount of time to initiate a low FODMAP or an eliminating FODMAP food diet as a trial. Because you want to see if it's going to be successful. And within a week to 10 days, my IBS symptoms were gone. And so I have remained low FODMAP for many years. Now, again, I just said, you want to be on the diet for 4 to 6 weeks very, very strictly. You would eliminate all five categories and you would do a definitive elimination diet of all high FODMAP. But then after that, you could start re-challenging your foods systematically in the same way that people do the Whole 30 or people do my program called the Detox Plus program. So you might re-challenge systematically, like let's say looking at the excess fructose column and start out by just challenging higher fructose foods and see if you react negatively. If you do, then you need to stay away from that category. Or then you might re-challenge just the fructans category and you may notice, hey, I don't really have a problem with sprouts or broccoli or Brussels sprouts or cabbage. It seems that that category, fructans, I'm not sensitive to, which would be great because then you can expand your diet again back into that particular category. And you'll be able to identify which of the categories are your main problems and then you continue to avoid those. So this is the way you get into how do you eliminate. But Trish, what elimination diets are out there a lot and help people understand, you know, elimination diets, first of all, what are they in general? Why would one do it? Why do they help? And then also, how do we know, you know, again, how long do you stay on it? And then also, what's the difference between a food sensitivity and a high FODMAP? You know, we'll kind of go over that together, but why don't you start out with those other topics?
Sure. So yeah, we were talking about this, just you and I recently, and I think it's a great point. Sometimes people come and they don't know for sure. That's one of the reasons why they're working with us, right? They don't know what they're sensitive to. So the comprehensive elimination diet that we do in our Detox Plus program is really helpful, not only for FODMAPs, but for any other food sensitivities, because you don't always know that that's what's bothering you until you do this process. So the process for the comprehensive elimination diet of foods in general, not just FODMAPs, is 21 days of eliminating the highest inflammatory, highest allergen foods. And for some people, what we've done is we have done a low FODMAP version of that. So the elimination diet takes out things like citrus and nightshade vegetables, which is another category of healthy vegetables for most people, but some people do react to them. So if you've got joint pain and other kinds of inflammatory things, you might be reacting to nightshade. So it's not that those things aren't healthy, it's just that they don't fit for some people. You get rid of dairy, sugar, alcohol, caffeine, things like that on the elimination diet. And for some people, we also do low FODMAPs. And what we would suggest for anybody doing a low FODMAP version of the elimination diet, the Detox Plus program, you would leave the FODMAP foods for your reintroduction till the end. So you would start putting back and testing other foods after the 21 days, one at a time, 3 days at a time, check for any symptoms. And then once you've worked through the foods that are not high in FODMAP, you can start testing, as Dr. Trish said, these different categories of FODMAPs, because by that time, 4 to 6 weeks has elapsed, as you mentioned, and the FODMAP problem should be cleared up out of your system. That's what we've got here.
Yeah, so let's make sure people understand. There are many different things that people can be reacting to in your environment. Mm-hmm. Food is one of the top things because it's something we put in our mouths 24/7, you know, not 24 hours a day typically, but the bottom line is that's our fuel. So when you put foods in your mouth, everybody's different. There's no black and white to identify everyone should do. We don't all fit in the same box. We have our own genetics and our own metabolism and our own microbiome. So the bottom line is there are food sensitivities, which means your immune system is reacting with an antibody reaction, particularly an IgG antibody reaction to a particular food, usually caused because of leaky gut, meaning you have leaky gut and something leaks through the wall of the lining of your intestines, and your immune system sits right behind there and reacts to a foreign invasion, if you will. And it reacts with an IgG antibody, which might come up right away, but it could also take a day or two for you to respond. To realize you're having a reaction. IgE is more of an allergy reaction. People can also be allergic to foods. You could be allergic to a food. You could be sensitive to a food. And that is when you usually want to do what's called a comprehensive elimination diet, where you're going to eliminate the top 10 triggers in our standard American diet. And again, our Detox Plus program gives you a 21-day comprehensive elimination diet with a guidebook and videos to support you to be able to be successful. But the issue is that if someone has irritable bowel syndrome, you may be sensitive to these foods, or the issue with these FODMAP foods, again, is that they're fermentable sugars. And so that fermenting process happens more aggressively, if you will, in your colon as an IBSer, and you end up, and with high FODMAP foods, you end up with more gas, more bloating. Again, then that's irritating your bowel and throwing off your microbiome, or the bugs that live there are causing this in the first place. And so you're having these GI complaints. So with some people, it is beneficial to do the comprehensive elimination diet with a FODMAP overlay, Mm-hmm. And that's what this slide says. For those who need to cut out FODMAPs, we have updated our comprehensive elimination diet guide to accommodate this. So you can do both at the same time.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you talked about there makes a point jump out for me, a key point here, the difference between a food sensitivity and sort of a FODMAP issue with IBS oftentimes is quantity for many people, right? So once people have quieted everything down and they've eliminated things and they start reintroducing things and they find things will work for them, it might be in a smaller quantity than they were used to, right? So I know from personal experience for myself, and I used to have an IBS and I no longer have those symptoms, but I can only take so much of certain foods, right? So beans, for instance, or cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, I can eat them, no problem. I don't have any symptoms if I do, but if I go overboard on them, I'm going to have some issues. It's not that I have a food sensitivity to them. They just, it's like too much of a good thing. And I've noticed with that Monash University link that I mentioned, they have an app. And for FODMAPs in particular, they've measured in the lab how much of a particular food hits the threshold of low FODMAP versus high FODMAP. And it was really interesting and eye-opening to me. There was like, oh, now I see within this threshold of this food, you know, a quarter cup is fine or a half cup is fine. But if you go to a cup, you know, you're now in high FODMAP territory. So it's not necessarily that your immune system is reacting to the food, as you pointed out, Dr. Trish. It's more, oh, now I've got so much of that fermentable sugar in my gut, it's creating a bad situation. So I thought that was really interesting as a differentiation.
Absolutely, because the longer I stay on a low, you know, again, originally 4 to 6 weeks in the beginning, I was very, very strict to avoid anything FODMAP at all. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I started rechallenging systematically, as I said, the different categories. But then I started realizing that, you know, yeah, I might be able to get away with a little broccoli, let's say once every couple weeks and not have a significant reaction. So your gut also will change because, of course, what you feed the bugs that live in your colon that also are the ones fermenting these vegetables, the more you either will produce bugs that will deal better with these substances and digest them better because a lot of it is fiber and sugar, or, you know, you'll keep modifying your diet. And over time, you'll find what works for you. And that also may shift over time. Now, the other thing, though, is what I want to mention is that if you Google FODMAP diet and you look at a lot of different sources, people come into me sometimes and they get really frustrated because different sources contradict each other. Mm-hmm. Like one thing might be listed on this source and not listed on another one. So just realize that we have found, and this is a great tip for you, we at Discover Health has found that with the research, the Monash University app and our list are coinciding with each other. So we help to streamline this, you know, this confusion for you. And people that stick to what we provide them, they don't get complicated, they don't get confused, and it's pretty straightforward. So Trish, how are some ways other than that tip I just gave, what are some other ways to help people be successful and optimally be able to determine whether they have IBS or whether the FODMAP diet is going to be successful for them and to be optimal in implementing it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the challenges, as you pointed out, is there's so much information out there. So people get information overload, they don't know where to start, but also because the body's such a complex system, and there are oftentimes delayed reactions. People are like, I don't know, I ate this thing for 2 days and it was fine. And then on day three, I didn't feel good. I don't even know what it is, right? And I've been there and done that. And I know you have as well, right? Where you feel like everything you eat makes you feel sick, or sometimes you eat it and it's fine. Sometimes you eat it and it's not, and you just don't even know where to start. So going through the comprehensive elimination diet is a great process to really get a handle on things. But also people find that sometimes overwhelming to do on their own. So we do one-on-one coaching. I work with people to individualize the approach to this, to help them make it practical and feasible for them in their lifestyle, right? We look at what are you already eating? What do you like? Where are your go-to kind of things that you're now going to have to cut out? And how do we swap those? We do that one-on-one, or we do classes. So we're running in the right now, we're just about to get into our fifth week of the Detox Plus program class, where people are helping each other as well. So they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do without onions and garlic? Or how do I, you know, cut out this food? What do I replace it with? And we help each other with recipes and suggestions and tips, and the whole group is going through that process together. And I've heard from a number of people that say either they tried to do it on their own, and when they did it with the group, they found it much easier. They stuck with it and they found it more enjoyable and had less cravings, partly just because they knew other people were doing the same thing. So having that group support has been really helpful for some people. For other people, having the one-on-one, being able to work with me individually, that's worked well. So either one of those has, I think, helped some, you know, a number of people be successful getting through this process and figuring out what works for them.
Absolutely. And also, if, again, to know the program overall, to do whether you're going to do a comprehensive elimination diet or the FODMAP overlay. Again, if you go to our website, discoverhealthfmc.com, and go to the shop, you will see the Detox Plus program. And that is a, with that program, you get a guidebook that's written that you download. And you also get 5 videos done by me, Dr. Trish, to support you through the whole process, step 1, step 2, step 3, and be able to help you be successful. Yeah. And then, of course, as we've said, if you need more assistance or you want assistance, at least you have questions, Coach Trish is there for you. And then Coach Trish, as she said, does online group, and you're just finishing one. Yeah. But also you've started a regular program where people that have completed, let's say, that class, mm-hmm. or completed the Sugar Busters class you've run, now also have, is it once a week or is it every other week, sort of a check-in and a continued support as a group?
Yeah, once a week accountability group. So we started it after we did the Sugar Busters class, and we're going to be inviting the folks as they finish the Detox Plus, and anyone who's finished either of those classes, even in the past, who's done it and wants to touch base and come back in. We meet once a week on Monday nights via Zoom. So you can be doing that from anywhere. I would also open it up to people who have done our nutrition and healthy habits class. So those 3 classes, or if you've worked with me individually and you just want a little accountability and you want the support of a group, and you don't have to come every week. It's not like a set curriculum in that way. But it's, you know, a monthly thing, and we meet weekly, and if you can make 2 meetings a week, then that, and that works, or a month, that works for you. If you want to meet every week, that works for you, that's great. So we have started that. And the other thing, I think before anybody even starts doing this, many times what they find really helpful as well is to have a one-on-one appointment with you, Dr. Trish, if they're suffering and, you know, having a lot of these symptoms. For those who are in our local area, coming and working with you as their functional medicine provider, I know gets folks, you know, squared away in terms of what direction do I need to go in? Is this the type of thing I need to do? But because you've got the online Detox Plus program, people can access that from anywhere. So, you know, there's a great variety of options for folks, I think.
Absolutely. So I hope this has helped folks. I hope, you know, what is a FODMAP anyhow, and why should I care? Bottom line, FODMAP is fermenting different types of sugars, all the oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. And Trish, if you would bring up your last slide that we haven't brought up yet, because the one thing I want to make sure we want to end with mm-hmm. is a positive. You know, we all emphasize what we have to eliminate. And oh my goodness, I have to eliminate this and that and that and this. You want me to eliminate something else? Well, you know what, folks? There's always a substitute. And let's focus instead on what I get to eat, because I can't tell you how wonderful I love my diet. I mean, I eat delicious, you know, the natural foods. When you get rid of all the processed crap and all the fake sugars, the natural sugars of the fruits and the vegetables are so good. And I feel so satisfied and so, you know, beneficial and healthy at, even after every single meal, that it's not about what I can't eat. It's about what I can. And the fact that I'm so happy that I've learned not to be sick, and that I've learned to be healthy and be able to transform my life and control my life so that I feel good most of the time. We all get sick here and there, but I feel good majority of the days of my life. Thank goodness. That's why I want to live my life. How about you, Trish?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel better now than I did when I was in my 20s. I was struggling with IBS and GERD and all kinds of acronyms and symptoms and joint pain and brain fog and all that kind of stuff because I wasn't eating right. And I didn't realize the damage it was doing, along with stress and not sleeping enough and all that stuff that I know now. And I've had to give up things, like I've been gluten and dairy free for 5 years. I limit certain FODMAP foods still that are problematic. I don't eat a huge amount of those particular foods. I feel great. I don't get those symptoms anymore. I don't feel like I'm deprived. I eat, you know, delicious food. I have lots of things to choose from, and I feel good, which makes a huge difference. It's so much easier to do when you feel this way, you know, because you don't feel deprived. You feel like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. I feel, you know, healthy and good and have energy. And yeah, so much better.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take one category and emphasize some of the things that I've learned to eat out of it that I never even knew before. And Trish, why don't you do that at the end, and we'll finish with that. So for example, vegetables. You know, I mean, I grew up in a meat and potatoes Irish Catholic family, and we ate carrots and we ate green beans. You know, we ate meat and we ate potatoes. And I was just like, what the heck is bok choy? Or, you know, escarole, or chives, or daikon radishes. But, you know, now I know what these things are. And talk about expanding my horizons, not reducing them. Mm-hmm. So, again, this doesn't have to be negative. It doesn't have to be, oh, my God, I don't know what to eat. At first, you're going to feel that way. Believe me, I've been there myself. What do I do? But but if you get the sources and the resources we give you, you're going to learn that, wow, there's a whole new world. And wow, does it taste good? So Trish, what category would you pick and point out a few things you weren't necessarily familiar with when you were, you know, having your problems in the past?
Yeah, a lot of those ones that you just mentioned, I think, some of those vegetables for sure. And then even things have gotten more common that didn't exist back then, right? There wasn't any such thing as almond milk yogurt when I had to give up dairy. And if there was, like, it was really hard to find. You'd have to go to some specialty food store. And now they're carrying it in big tubs, almond milk unsweetened yogurt, no sugar. I can put in my own fruit or coconut milk yogurt, you know, things like that, that I don't feel deprived. Same thing with, I was an ice cream fiend when I was younger. I loved ice cream. I had it like every day through my youth and into my probably 20s, 30s. And, you know, you can get almond milk ice cream, cashew milk ice cream, coconut milk ice cream. You can make your own with fruit, bananas or whatever. So like, I don't ever feel deprived, even though I don't eat gluten and dairy, which are on the high FODMAP list. So yeah.
Lately, I've been making the frozen banana. You take a banana, peel it, put it in the freezer, and then put it in a food processor with, let's say, some cocoa powder, a nut butter, another, let's say, frozen berries, and some almond yogurt, and food process it and get it to the consistency of ice cream. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, it is the best thing.
Yeah.
So, with that, folks, it doesn't have to be negative. You don't have to focus on what you can't have, but let's focus on what you can have and help you get rid of the symptoms, get rid of the bloating, get rid of the diarrhea so that you can feel better. So thanks for participating, everybody. This is Dr. Trish and Health Coach Trish. Thanks, Trish.
Thanks. See you later, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time so you can truly live and play as long as you want.